Hey, it's the Metal Enema on Solarfall Radio, solarfall.com. I'm The Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epicac. And yet MySpace.com/MetalEnema,
MetalEnema@gmail.com. Okay, so this has kind of been an unusual situation because we missed a week.
Oh, God!
We didn't
I was so worried about what the kids would do in our absence.
Yeah, we actually missed a week, and everybody was probably like, they're going through all the episodes trying to get caught up, and they're like, wait a minute, where's this episode? I lost my place! In the maze of the internet!
And the rest of Solarfall was going, fuck, finally those guys took a break.
Yeah, some bandwidth came back. Awesome. So, a lot of things happened in the last time we've been on the air.
Right. We got married.
Yes. We're now
official
wife and wife.
Right.
And, speaking of, I actually had to take my wife to the emergency room twice because, as I've explained before, she broke her hip and she had...
She took a bunch of lewds. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of stomach pumping going on. And
yeah. And that was before we got to the ER. No.
Rod Stewart's got nothing on this week.
Well... It wasn't funny because she was having like...
No, but what is funny though is the story of your buddy that donated sperm to go skydiving.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was at the sperm donor clinic and he apparently passed some test.
They needed high yield.
Yeah, the special treatment. So they took him back to the back and...
Put electrodes on his balls. Yeah,
when they turned on the current. Just
right,
go,
he didn't know...
Goomp, goomp,
yeah, it was like literally like, like this little Petri cup, sterile cup. And he's like... Well, what's this going to do? he didn't even like get an erection either. That was the worst part. He said, I went from flaccid to ejaculating. But they gave him like $2,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why he agreed to do it. So anyway.
What I was thinking was a couple could spice up their love life with electrodes to the balls during a blowjob.
Oh, yeah.
Drink it all.
That's I want to be dry.
I can produce this much in a day.
Get to the last drop, baby.
Oh, still some left. I can be like, oh,
zot, zot, zot.
You don't have to worry about gagging, just swallow, and that's all.
I don't know how we ended up talking about this when I was talking about my horrible experience with my wife going to the hospital.
Rod Stewart and stomach pump urban legend.
I heard it was Bon Jovi.
It's everybody. Well, Rod Stewart was blowing Gene Simmons, Bon Jovi.
Well, anyway, the short version is that my wife had heart palpitations because, she was not doing well. When you're healing from a major injury, it causes...
And you're taking meth. Good.
So we're in the ER for the second time. And by the way, she's okay. For those of you who are going to start writing in, ooh, is your wife okay? Yeah, she's fine. Whatever. We were in a semi-private room, and which basically means there's like four alcoves and they're divided by curtains, but there's a little hallway between them.
Yeah.
Which was actually pretty all right. But there's some woman who came in after us, and we only caught a glimpse of her out of the corner of the curtain. It was her and then a little boy. And she goes to the adjoining room right next to ours and is doing like... carcass style vomiting. And she's like, oh, I mean, it's just like some woman in her 40s or whatever, and she's all, I mean, and like vomiting. Yeah, no, she's like puking up her soul. And the thing that was, I'm sitting there, and not only was it funny standing, I mean, she sounded really sick, but at the same time, it was like, I'm sitting there trying to talk to Erica, and just, we're talking, and she's just laying there with the EKG thing on her, and I'm like, well, everything's going to be all right. The doctor will be here soon. just snickering. Because then I had this mental image. Because like I said, there was a little boy that was with her. I guess it was her son or something. And I was thinking it would have been hilarious. It's like you keep hearing that noise. And then like the doctor came in and was trying to talk to this woman. She's barfing while he's trying to talk. You can hear her barfing into a bucket or whatever. And I just thought it would have been hilarious if... that at some point the doctor walks in there and you hear a dad's voice going, Billy, cut that out. The doctor's trying to talk to your mother. sorry, doctor. He just does this. Oh, come on, dad. Yeah, it's funny. So anyway.
Sorry, my wife's bulimic and we just went to Ryan's and Luby's. to eat the eat at the all you can eat chicken fried steak bar.
Oh my god. No, but anyway, it was really
she loves the fried meat, but can't stand the pounds.
Just sitting there gagging. So the doctor's like, well, if you just stop sticking your hand in your throat, we'd be okay. So she ultimately she was there long enough, and it was hilarious because it was intermittent barfing. It's like we thought they'd moved her or that she'd gone to sleep or something. And we're sitting there just kind of quietly talking, and then, you know, so I wonder what they're going to say. You know? Every so often, it was just really funny. But then the doctor actually came in and told her, like, well, we got
you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. Because apparently she was barfing blood, which I wish I could have checked that out. But apparently she had, like, blood clots in her kidneys, and she was probably not going to make it, or at least she's going to be in the hospital for a good long time. I was just thinking, that kind of sucks to, like, have to come to the hospital to barf your last, you know? She went out vomiting.
Any other radio show, we'd pop on Cannibal Corpse's Vomit the Soul right about now.
We can.
Well, all right.
Well, that's going to be our first song of the night, everybody. It's Cannibal Corpse.
Vomit the Soul! Do it.
Thank you.
That was Krieg with the Immaculate Whore, Baptism with Blasphemic Tyrant, and opening that up, it was Cannibal Corpse, Vomit the Hospital. Billy, cut it out.
I was watching a documentary on anorexics and bulimics.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's called Thin, and it's about four women that are in a treatment center for anorexics and bulimics, and I just have to wonder why there's a treatment center. Yeah. Just fucking let these defective people off themselves.
Well, see, this is...
Because none of them in their interviews showed any sort of redeeming qualities to
them. It's a form of
them.
Psychosis.
Yeah. And there was a 15-year-old girl that they were kind of following, but it was always just a shot of her in the background looking sullen, not participating and whatnot. And finally, her insurance runs out, and she has to get kicked out of the rehab center. And she's just getting really upset because she weighs, you know, she's 15 years old. She weighs all of
75 pounds,
80 pounds, and she's, you know, real thin. And she's just like, Mom, my double chin's coming back. And she's like pinching an eighth of an inch of skin on her. So she's like, I want to be thin. I don't want to be fat. And I see all these thin girls at school and blah.
Yeah.
And I'm,
well, here's.
And I'm, I just like. She's like, I just want to die. And I'm
go right ahead.
I'm going to start a fund for her.
Well, here's what I keep recommending that we should institute in America. I mean, just for health reasons and also for efficiency with our medical system. Bullet therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. The doctor should prescribe a bullet for the patient. It's like, all right, well, you're an anorexic bulimic, because there is such a thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to prescribe you bullet therapy. We're going to start you off with 22 bullets, and if you don't respond to that, we're going to upgrade you to 38. And if in the event 38s don't work for you, we will go to a 44 or a 45. But by then, you should see some results, i.e. your problems will be over because you'll be dead. Bullet therapy for everybody. That's what I say. Incidentally, I came up with a new insult. But it's a specialized insult. You can't really use it outside of Texas at this point. Down where I work is right in the downtown area, and we've had an upswing in Austin's a pretty safe city, but we've had an upswing in crime since Katrina.
Yeah.
Because all the New Orleans bums who are like way worse and more fucked up than the Texas bums have come over because of Hurricane Katrina and now live here.
Yeah.
And so it's actually more dangerous. I've been having to walk girls that I know from work to their cars. And even though I end up raping them myself, you saw that one coming. At least they're not getting raped by a total stranger.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. The trust factor's there. You got to start off with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. That's
sometimes
that's
I have. Sometimes I wear my arm in a cast or try to move heavy furniture.
Yeah,
they seem to respond better that way.
Well, see, but this way I don't even have to like have a ruse. I can just get them to their car. It's like, well,
punch them in the back of the head.
Here we are, all alone. Don't move, you know. But anyway, the other thing is that most of these bums are black, and so they'll come up to you and this is their rap. It's weird. It's like we're in communist Russia. They're like, "Hi, my name's Darnell Thompson. Here's my papers to prove I'm a human being." I mean, they literally like try to show.
Извините, пожалуйста,
меня
зовут Лерой.
Keep trying to show you these IDs and stuff as if that makes a fucking difference in whether or not you're going to give them a dollar. They're trying to prove they're from Louisiana, so you can take
pity on
them.
Just all stained McDonald's napkins.
Yeah, with
rings.
The face drawn on it.
This is me.
Anyway, the point is that they always like try to accost you with that rap. And I mean, like, not like the song, but
right,
you know, but like they try to give you the whole line about that bullshit. And it doesn't matter. I'm not giving them any fucking money. And I came up with an insult that would guarantee to get a reaction, i.e. I'd get stabbed. I want to look them straight in the eye and go back to Louisiana, Africa. Basically, go back to one of the two places you're from. Some people might go, that's harsh. And I say, you come live here in Texas and have to walk girls to their cars because it's not safe in downtown Austin anymore.
And rape them.
Yeah. it's only technically date rape if they know. It's acquaintance rape. I'm sorry.
Right,
acquaintance rape. It's not as bad
as... It's office rape.
Yeah, office rape.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. You know, you pin them down on a copy machine.
That's right.
So this month,
fill their outgoing mail.
Yeah, fill their outbox. You know, Pentacle is our band of the month. Finally,
God, we've known these guys for years.
Yeah. We've known these guys for a year. And this is in tribute to our friend Vonis. But we really do like the band. This is their new album, Under the Black Cross. It's all a big elegy to World War II, and it's one of the better ones I've heard. It's pretty ripping. I liked their old material, but this new one really does it for me. I think it's great. So in accordance with our band of the month, we're going to play two songs from each band from here on out. So we've got Into the Fiery Jaws and then Raise the White Ensign. Anyway.
It's a flag.
It's a flag. Yeah.
It's not a sailor cock.
No. It's like, I would have preferred it if you had just withheld your comments about...
I'm sure. Well, I was trying to get a good one out, like, all right, these are the songs about World War II, like Cattle Car to Poland and Into the Ashtray.
And Raise Your Hand for Hitler. You know? No, wait. Don't.
No.
No, it's just about World War II. We're not taking sides.
No, just reporting.
No. Shut up. Just play the song. Christ, I don't want to be the band of the month anymore.
The devil's fire, the game, the devil.
That was Gorgoroth with Untamed Forces, Pentacle, Rose the White Ensign, and Pentacle also did Into the Fiery Jaws.
I
saw in this other documentary I was watching about the only snippet I saw of this other one. Not the thin one, but completely different one's called Fat. No, I'm just kidding. there was this lady who has the film crew with her. I think it was actually an intervention show.
Anyway, okay.
Point is, she bids her husband and family goodbye to go to work and school. She starts off eating this huge, you know, like pot roast in front of the TV.
Oh.
Then
is she fat to begin with?
She's not super thin, mm-hmm. not super fat, but she mm-hmm. so she eats this, you know, pot roast or meatloaf or whatever. Then immediately after that, she drives to like a fried chicken place, gets like an 8 or 12 piece bucket of chicken, takes it home, eats that mm-hmm. in front of the TV, you know, eats that in front of the TV. Then she goes out again.
Is this normally what she does?
Yes,
I don't understand.
This is her daily routine until her family gets home.
Oh my god.
Then she goes to a hamburger place and gets like a hamburger, fries, and such.
Why doesn't she don't make it one trip?
Because she needs a bullet, I guess. Is the answer to
she's
it.
She's also into wasting gas. I don't know.
Well, you know, she's getting a little bit of exercise walking to the car.
At least I get out.
Yeah, through the drive-thru. Yeah. So yeah, basically she eats like 5 or 6 huge meals.
Yeah.
And then spends the rest of the afternoon and evening puking it up and popping diuretics and trying to piss it all out and taking laxatives. And she's got a whole cabinet in her kitchen dedicated to laxatives, diuretics, pills, just all this shit to help her purge. And I just...
What kind of douche lord husband would put up with that?
A very caring and understanding one. Yeah, yeah. But on this documentary Thin, this girl that's about the size of this 2x4 here holding up the superstructure for the Metal Enema studios, they start her talking on her segment, and in the early pictures, she's got this white tube coming out of her nose.
Uh-huh.
And at first, I thought she was a hooker and she's full. But it's a feeding tube that she's got because she doesn't want to eat,
right.
So they're having to force feed her. Then her dad got pissed off at that. I guess that was enough. And he was like, no daughter of mine's going to have a feeding tube in her nose. So he takes her to the hospital, puts it in her stomach.
Ooh.
So she's being fed directly into her stomach. Uh-huh. She gets the bright idea to purge through the hole that the feeding tube is in.
God.
So she's like, yeah, I would like eat bread, and then I'd take the tube out, and I'd stick a syringe in there and pull the bread out. So people would think I was eating, but I wasn't.
That's... Jesus Christ, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
So when she's in the therapy, and I was thinking, that's a really good place to put the barrel of the gun.
Yeah. Pow!
Oh, it's a ready-made holster. Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's a good documentary, but it just sets off a lot of weird bells and whistles inside the psyche.
Well, it's
hard to be sympathetic when another one of these people that they're interviewing, because there's four of these women, she's going through therapy, and they're like, why are you doing this? She's like, I don't know, I just hate myself, you know, blah, blah, blah. I feel fat, blah, blah. But I really want to stay alive for my kids, and I want to, live for my kids.
I want to pass on my neuroses to my kids.
Yeah, and by the end of the documentary, she's like, oh, I just want this whole clinic that we're in, this community, to be this healthy place where everyone can, you know, feel safe and blah, blah. And then she has to, her insurance runs out. So she gets kicked out, and she moves her family from wherever to Florida, where this clinic is, so she can still do outpatient treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And her and the chick with the feeding tube, who no longer by this point in the movie has the feeding tube, obviously.
She's got all these holes in her.
Well, she's up to a hale and hearty 108.
Whoa!
From 81.
Wow.
Yeah, she's doing good. Yeah. Ah.
What a pig.
It's weird. They would weigh these girls facing away from the scale so they couldn't see what weight they are.
Wow.
Anyway, so they move around, and they're both leaving, and this girl with the feeding tubes, you know, healthy 108, and she's going to go back to her family, and they decide to have this one last farewell meal.
Right.
And so they go to some, you know, fucking Outback Steakhouse or something.
See, this is why they're all have eating disorders. They go to shitty places to eat.
Well, the one that has the kids, she orders this huge salad, but then when she's eating it, she's just like scraping every bit of dressing and whatnot off the leaf, and then just nibbling at the leaf the entire time. And the other one's like, yeah, we're going to eat like normal people. And she's actually eating chicken wings like somebody reasonably would, you know, just kind of sticking the whole thing in her mouth and then sucking off the parts. But so they, and she's, you know, they show the cameraman's kind of panning back and forth between, you can see the one girl's got the concerned look in her eye because she knows what the other girl's doing. And so she leaves, feeding tube chick goes away. The other one goes home with their kids, and her kids, you know, are kids. They're like 2 or 3. So they start in with the, I shit myself, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you can see her, and she's just like pulling her hair back from her face because she's freaking out. And so the camera then moves into her bedroom where she slides in, closes the door as quietly as possible, like kind of paces around for a while, opens the door to the bathroom, pulls out the scale that's in front of the toilet, stands over it, and just... And the dog keeps coming in. She's like, no, get out. So she puts the dog. She has to stop in the middle of her purging to lock the dog.
The dog's all, oh, no, no.
She brushes her teeth, cleans the toilet, puts the scale back, sprays Oust and whatever in there, Febreze to get all the stink out, you know, and then has her cigarette. And so by the, this is the end of, you know, at this point, this is the end of the film, and they start doing the wrap up, you know, like, this worthless piece of shit twat, you know, is fucking stupid. This one's
I wanted to see the girl with the feeding tube in her nose, like, get an Outback Steakhouse steak in the feeding tube.
Well, they, the clinic she's at makes her take it out, and they put her, they put her under.
Makes her take the steak out of the feeding tube.
Yeah, they, so they're like, oh, this is jam.
Or that she just takes it like it's like an anime where she takes the steak and just shoves it into the hole in her stomach.
Yeah, by this point, she's got teeth.
Yeah.
Anyway, wait, just real quick. The lady with the kids vomiting up, they're doing her wrap up, and she's back in the clinic because she tried to commit suicide with
a
bunch of diuretics and whatever else.
And ham hocks.
Good luck to her.
Yeah. There's 6 billion plus people on this planet. We don't need those folks. Sorry. Hey, my sister's got that problem. Well, kill her.
Fucking kill her.
That's our answer. All right. Secrets of the Moon was our band of the month last month. And we had one more.
And those guys, they've got such a problem with keeping their food down.
S. Golden is like a total anorexic bulimic. And then,
just never ends.
Well, you
him,
know, Thrawn came to my wedding, and he was just like barfing everywhere over the side of the boat. He was just like, "Oh, I'm very full. Oh no, I'm skinny again. Yeah, it's great. It's cool. It's cool." So we're gonna go ahead and play the last song off Antithesis from Secrets of the Moon, so they don't get short shrift. This is a song called Lucifer Speaks.
We'll be right back.
That was Dr. Shrinker with Germ Farm. That was actually a request from our good friend Vonis. Hey, Vonis, is your ass chapped yet? stop kissing my ass. Vonis, we love you, Vonis. Pentacles, so awesome. All right, before that was Funeral Mist with Holy Poison, speaking of vomiting. And before that, Secrets of the Moon with Lucifer Speaks. All right, before we do anything else, we want to go ahead and mention that our good friends at Music Video Distributors, that's musicvideodistributors.com, have offered a contest to us. They re-editioned the Immolation's Dawn of Possession CD, and they gave us three. That's right, three to give away. And you're only eligible for the contest if you're in the U.S. Sorry about that. That's trade restrictions. It's not because we're trying to be difficult. So here's the question for the contest.
Not even Mexicrap.
No. Not even Louisiana, Africa. So here we go. We're going to ask a question. Three lucky winners. You got it. Well, here's the rules.
You have to email it in.
You can't just yell it at the computer. I know the answer. We can't hear you. Okay, so you're gonna mail your answer in to metalenema@gmail.com. So here is the question. On Dawn of Possession, Craig Smolowski, who was the last-minute replacement drummer for Immolation's original drummer, was borrowed from another band and ultimately joined Immolation full-time.
What band was this?
What band was Craig's first band? Or not first band, but what was the band he was in? All right, so that's the question. We'll wait while you email us. Nothing yet. Let me refresh. Nothing yet. Okay, I think we're gonna have to wait. All right, you all lose. Fuck you. Too late. All right, contest over. No, really. Email your answers. We're not gonna put a time limit on this. We're gonna probably put it up on MySpace too. So you better fucking hurry if you're hearing this now, because we're gonna announce it on there too. And then every dipshit on earth who added us because we have a picture of a naked chick on there, dude, I want free something. All right. In other miserable health news, I have to go to the dentist on Friday because apparently I cracked two of my molars.
Doing what?
Eating pheasant that was shot by a local hunter, and there was some bird shot, like the little BBs in the meat, and I bit down on it. And this was like months ago. And I was like, crunk, ow, fuck. And I went and looked at my teeth, and they hurt for like a little bit, but not like for days even, just for a couple of hours. I was like, God damn, that hurt. But I didn't bite down full on. So I was like, all right, my teeth are still intact, whatever. So then all of a sudden they started to hurt, just the two ones on the bottom of the back. And I have got really good teeth health. I haven't had any problems in years. And so I went to the dentist, and he looks at it and goes, "Ah, you cracked two of your teeth. What did you bite down on?" I'm like, "Son of a bitch, it was that bird shot." And the thing is, it's just, okay, this is another educational outing of insurance for you guys in Europe. I don't have dental insurance because the policies here are so bad and so expensive that it isn't worth it, because it's actually cheaper to just assume that you're not going to have too many dental problems and just pay the doctor directly. Okay, but my luck ran out on this one because I have to have a root canal, which means they go in and drill out part of the root. And then I have to have two crowns to cover up the cracked teeth.
Yeah.
That costs $875 a visit, and I got three visits. So that's $2,500, $2,500 American dollars for this. And they said you can do it in portions, like, you know, because I could get the...
you can do it in portions. You can pay $875 now.
Yeah.
And then $875 on the next time.
And then
$875. And then by the third visit,
$875. Well, and that's the thing. But they said I could actually do the tooth surgery in portions. Like, I could get the root canal now, so the tooth doesn't hurt anymore. And they could put, like, sort of filler crowns on there.
Temporary crowns on there.
And then later I could do it. And I was like, well, that's not going to help me. Then I'll just be tied up into this for six fucking months
instead. You could go to the dental college, practice people, and just get both teeth pulled for like $50.
Yeah. But then I could also get you.
And you have dry sockets. And...
Right. I could get you to do it for free. Yeah. So... and, you know, I'm
get
just
a good wrench swing in there.
I'm imagining you getting in there with like a pair of pliers. And as you pull out and the tooth goes, you like smash out on my front teeth. Bam! There, look, I got it.
Pliers come flinging out of the back of the front.
Tink! Look, I got it.
Now
oh,
you can
there's
go
some
play
more
hockey.
On the floor. Yeah. Give an awesome blowjob.
You can corner that clit like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, all right. We might as well tell that story. We were friendly with this girl who was a stripper. And this guy, and she was like one of the full-on nude strippers. I don't know why I didn't go with her that one time. I was trying to be nice and not be like every other guy she knew, you know, but whatever. That was my stupid mistake.
Yeah.
So she was like one of the all-nude strippers. And apparently this one time, this guy came up and, like, you know, was giving her the money because she had a little garter on her. Well, he was just sticking it in her cooch. And she's leaning down to, you know, get the money. And he smiles, and he's got a bit, his front tooth is missing. And he leans up into her ear, and this is like in North Carolina. He's all, "I could corner your clit like you wouldn't believe." And I remember she decided to tell me this over dinner.
Oh, how nice.
Well, we're just eating at our house. It wasn't like in public, but I was like, and I was thinking,
why are we eating these cocktail weenies again?
And then we were loading up on edible body spray, edible body foam, just sitting there on the couch watching Legend and taking hits. Oh, you want some? Yeah. Yeah, that's a meal for some people. A can of edible body sex foam.
horrible people.
Yeah, we don't know anybody like that. Never encountered anybody who's like that.
It's a good thing they weren't taking hits off the aerosol in it. Just
it's like kids who get high on the compressed air that you use to clean the keyboards. You can use that.
There's people that do that.
Yeah. There is. Bullet therapy! Bullet therapy, everybody. Bulimics and people who get high on keyboard cleaner. All right, so we've got... that's appropriate. We have a song from Abigor. This is called Universe of Black Divine. It must be about, you know...
Louisiana, Africa.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
That was catharsis with a scent from Gulgatha. Morgoth did selected killing, and Abagor brought us the universe of Black Divide.
Selected killing, indeed. Oh, yeah, can't forget this. By the way, I'm The Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epikak.
This
You're
is Metal Enema.
Solarfall.com
Radio. Solarfall.com Radio. Metal Enema, everybody. All right, speaking of Metal Enema, we have the promotion. We've been meaning to get this started for a little bit here.
We talked about it week before last, yeah. And then we missed last week, so that probably threw everybody off.
But this is actually in effect as of now. If you go to Music Video Distributors, which is musicvideodistributors.com. Let me double check that real quick because it... Yeah, musicvideodistributors.com. That's plural, distributors. Musicvideodistributors.com. They have offered an exclusive promotion, but everybody can take everybody can take advantage of this. This is on account of the Metal Enema. They've got a lot of stuff. I mean, they carry all sorts of music, but a lot of hard rock, heavy metal, and of course, death metal and some black metal. So, they're part of the re-editioning of Vader's De Profundis album, mm-hmm. the Immolation Dawn of Possession album, and also
and Aerosmith's 16 Greatest
actually
on polyvinyl Blu-ray.
Yeah, but
text 442-8800 to mobile 928-45 to get your promo code.
To chat with the naked Steve Tyler. No. We can give the promo code on the air. This is open to everybody. Here we go. Yeah, that we have free reign on this because we thought we didn't. So if you go to musicvideodistributors.com and you want to buy something there, you can...
Like Aerosmith.
No, shut the fuck up.
Like Cinderella's 8 Greatest.
No, like the Pestilence Greatest.
Pet Shop Boys.
Pestilence Greatest. Pestilence Greatest Hits, or like it's Pestilence compilation with unreleased tracks.
Ooh.
The re-edition digipack of Dawn of Possession from Immolation, Vader's De Profundis, I think Behemoth, one of their early albums, has been re-editioned. You can get it for 25% off if, when you make a purchase, at the end, like when you're basically putting in your order information, there is a promotions code. It just says, you know, enter your promotional code. The promotional code is Undertaker! So, everybody can use that. You have to be in the U.S., by the way. Wah, wah. So all two of you who listen to us in the U.S. are going to go, yeah! So if you have any questions about that, feel free to email us. We don't work for MVD, so don't ask us any questions other than like, well, don't ask us any questions. Yeah. Fuck you.
But write us. MetalEnema@gmail.com.
So that's what we're doing for you, the fans. Hope you enjoy it. We're also going to have an upcoming interview with Obituary at the beginning of the year.
Fantastic.
With John Tardy and... Donald Tardy. So, well, here's hoping that... Well, here's hoping that John does his vocal style when he's on the interview, you know, over the phone.
It was about 1988 that we decided to let you...
That would be great. I hope he does that. So, anyway, that's what we've got for you. So, enjoy. Again, just let us know how it goes. Let us know if you picked anything up. We're going to try to get more stuff in. We just announced the Immolation Contest last break.
Mm-hmm.
So, make sure to write in for that one. If you didn't catch what it was about, either download the episode and listen to it again. And, you know, or, you know, if you're listening to it, already downloaded, just zip it back because you might have been like doing the dishes or eating a sandwich or something. And, oh, what?
Wait, consummating your marriage.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
knows? All kinds
yeah,
of yeah. things. Puking up the dinner that you just ate.
Yeah, barfing your last in the hospital, that kind of thing.
Binging through your feeding tube hole.
Yeah, yeah, stuffing a Outback, you know, stuffing a blooming onion through your feeding tube. All right, so we've got a few more songs left. Let's just jump right back into it. It's Morbid Angel, Sworn to the Black.
Hi, it's David Vincent from Morbid Angel, and you're listening to Metal Enema, of all things, on Solar Fall Radio. Take the death of the sun.
All right, that was a classic from Enslaved from the album Frost. That was Loki. hey, Loki. Before that was Unscapped from Slave Under His Immortal Will, from the Slave Under His Immortal Will EP. And, of course, before that, that was Morbid Angel with Sworn to the Black from the classic Covenant, the last good Dave Vincent album. Thank you. So, that's bringing us near to the end of another show. We've got a couple more songs to dish out, so we're just going to go ahead and do it.
And then we'll play the songs.
We'll be right back.
All right. That was it. This is it. That was Grave with Haunted. And before that, that was Mayhem with The Freezing Moon with Dead on vocals.
Because it's cold and it's dark.
And The Freezing Moon will obsess you. I'm The Undertaker.
I'm Mac Bornis, Epicac.
And that was our show. That's The Metal Enema, as always. Sorry about the little outage last week. We'll try to avoid it because we know that you guys live and die by it. You know, when you're in your bathroom.
But you know what? Sometimes your just demands are too much.
Yeah.
Just take and take, and that's all
and
we
you,
give.
Basically, we know you're there downloading all the episodes of Metal Enema, and then, like,
and
you know, listening to them all at once, and then going into the bathroom and, like, uploading everything into your toilet, you know.
Putting it up on your webpage.
You've got a downloading disorder. You greedy fucks. Bullet therapy for all of you. Well, that's it. Good night, everybody.